minds and make room for the thoughts of Jesus in them. May we lay aside every distraction. And may the words of men fall away. And the words of Jesus be high and lifted up. In Jesus' name. Amen. I read to you something this morning out of Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. It's called The Exclusiveness of Christ, October 8th reading. Come unto me, Matthew 11:28. Is it not humiliating to be told that we must come to Jesus? Think of the things we will not come to Jesus Christ about. If you want to know how real you are, test yourself by these words. Come unto me. In every degree in which you are not real, you will dispute rather than come. You will quibble rather than come. You will go through sorrow rather than come. You will do anything rather than come the last lap of unutterable foolishness, just as I am. As long as we have the tiniest bit of spiritual impertinence, it will always reveal itself in the fact that you're expecting God to tell you to do a big thing, and all he is telling you to do is to come. Come unto me. When you hear those words, you will know that something must happen in you before you can come. The Holy Spirit will show you what you have to do, anything at all, that will put the axe at the root of the thing which is preventing you from getting through. You will never get further until you are willing to do that one thing. The Holy Spirit will locate that one impregnable thing in you, but he cannot budge it unless you're willing to let him. How often do you come to God with your requests and go away with the feeling, oh, well, I've done it this time, and yet you go away with nothing, whilst all the time God has stood with outstretched hands, not only to take you, but for you to take him. Think of the invincible, unconquerable, unwearying patience of Jesus when he says, come unto me. Let me show you a simple visual of what he is talking about. Where'd Andy go? Where's Andy? Somebody find him for me, please. Stinker. He went on a walk. He was my visual. My visual aid can't go on a walk. Oh, my goodness. I guess he forgot he was going to do that for me this morning. I'm going to be talking about this morning. He says the simplest thing, come unto me. And yet we all have an excuse. And then when we do come, we typically come. Nobody knows where he is. He vanished. Nah, it's all right. That's all right. Look in his office. That's all right. All right, Paul, you get to stand in for Andy. So just stand right here. Put your arms out like this, like Jesus does to us. And he just does this. He goes, come unto me. Come unto me. This is what Jesus does. He just goes, come. And this is what we do. We go, so Jesus, I have this stuff going on in my life, and do you have any, I can't pay my bills, and my husband isn't around, and my kids are upset, and have you been watching, and I need you to do this, and I need you to change my husband's heart, and I need you to give, okay? And Jesus is going, and I'm like, that's what we do. We come, and he's like, receive me. And I'm like, no, I just want to talk to you, and then I'm just going to go. What that just said was, I come unto Jesus, and I receive him, and Jesus receives me. That's what it's talking about. Come unto me. Don't just walk into my presence and then leave. Or maybe not even come. Jesus is going, come unto me, come unto me. And yet, we all have reasons why we don't. Let's look at the fullness of that scripture in Matthew 11:28. In the New King James, it says, come unto me. I'm going to read 28 through 30 in Matthew 11. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The NIV says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Anybody ever feel weary in your labor? You know, we all have a labor, don't we? We all have a work to do every day. Anybody ever feel weary like it says here? Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Think about the work that you've been doing. Maybe the work of the Spirit or in your family or in your homes or in your emotions, whatever it is. Do you feel weary? Here's what it means to be weary, like he said. Come to me if you feel weary and burdened. To feel weary is to feel physically or mentally exhausted by hard work. Ever feel that way? Strain, fatigued, tired, impatient, or dissatisfied with something. Anybody feel weary? Anybody feel burdened? He says, come unto me. Does your labor maybe feel heavy to you in some way right now? Your labor of the spirit, your labor of the flesh, whatever your labor may be, do you feel heavy laden with it? To be heavy laden means to be loaded down. It means to be burdened. I just feel loaded down with this labor right now. Does it feel like maybe this yoke of heaviness has just kind of come to weigh you down? And then maybe it's weighing down your energy. Maybe it's weighing down your vitality. You used to have this energy, you used to have this vitality, you used to be able to live and move and breathe and have it, and now you just feel like every step is heavy, and every prayer is heavy laden, and everything I do feels heavy. Or maybe it's your faith or your joy or your life that just, you just feel like you've got this yoke of heaviness on you. Have you ever seen those old yokes women used to have these old yokes that they would wear, and they had these buckets where they would go and get water. And sometimes they'd have four different strings in these chains, and they'd wear this big yoke, and they'd go down, and they'd come back, and they'd carry these buckets of water. And sometimes we feel like that. We're just carrying around, and it's weighing down our joy, and it's our expectancy. Maybe your expectancy is just heavy. Or your peace, or your confidence. Maybe your patience. You found there's a real heaviness to your patience. And you used to just, in your hope, hope used to be just like this. And all of a sudden it's heavy and it's hard for you and it's difficult for you to even muster up anything. Jesus said, come unto me. Do the simplest thing. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, who are weary and who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. He said in here to do three simple things. He said, first of all, come to me. Second of all, he said, take my yoke. We all got our yoke on. He said, take my yoke. Take off your yoke. Take on mine. And then he said, come and learn from me. Come and learn from me. What are we supposed to learn? When we go come unto him, we say, what are we supposed to learn? We're supposed to learn how to labor in a different way. That's what we're supposed to learn how to do. We're supposed to learn how to receive from him and handle these things in a different way than we have been. We're carrying around our loads in our way and how we know how to balance it and how we know how to carry it from point A to point B. And he says, come unto me, set it down, learn from me a new way. In Isaiah 48, 17 through 18, this is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of a sea. In another translation, it says your well-being. He wants to come, and he wants to teach you a new way. A different way, the light way, the easy way. And it seems so simple right here, doesn't it? Doesn't seem that hard. We should just be able to come. We should be able to sit quietly and learn. Doesn't sound that hard? And yet, Actually, what it sounds like is school, which is why most of us don't like it. Most of us spent 12 years trying to learn to do that simple thing. Come, sit quietly, and learn. And how hard was it? We don't like it. We struggle with it. We should be good at it. 12 years, some of you went to college. You spent a lot more years than 12. Come, sit, learn. And yet we struggle with this basic concept of just being able to come, just being able to sit, and just being able to learn. And we end up with so many excuses of why it's easier to just go my own way, why it's easier to carry my own load, why it makes sense to me to do it the heavy, burdensome way rather than to come, to sit, and to learn and to receive Jesus' lighter way, Jesus' different way. And yet we struggle. I remember when Andy was so short that carrying a jug of milk out of the car up the steps of our house, the milk jug was almost as big as him, and he insisted on carrying himself. But when he would try to carry it, he would drag the bottom of it across the ground, and it would hit the steps. And I would try to say, Andy, why don't you let me help you? Andy, why don't you let Dad? No. No. And the poor milk barely made it from the car to the kitchen because it's getting beat up the whole way, which is what we look like. One day I watched him do this and I went, that's what I look like. Jesus is going, let me help you. I'm like, no, I got it. He's like, no, let me help you. No, I got it. And I'm making it so much harder than it needs to, and I'm making such a bigger mess of things than I need to because I won't just let him help me. Turn in your Bibles this morning. I want to talk to you about something out of the book of Luke. Go to Luke chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I'm going to talk a little bit about the excuses that we come up with to not just do the simple things as to come. I'm going to be reading from verses 16 through 24. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses, and the first one said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. And the servant came back and reported this to his master, and then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there's still room. And then the master told his servant, go out into the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. I want to talk to you about these excuses that these people come up with, because it's the same thing that we do. Jesus sets out this banqueting table for us to receive, and we all begin to make excuses. And I want you to notice that he doesn't just set out a one-course meal. He didn't put out a table and put a little piece of meatloaf there in the middle of it. He sets out a banqueting table. What that means is everything you could ever need is there and present. You merely have to come, and you merely have to receive. You have to do the simple thing. He's done the hard thing. All the peace, all the joy, all the wisdom, all the understanding, all the confidence, all the direction, all the healing, all the forgiveness, whatever you have need of. You ever been to the buffet? You go into the buffet, whatever you want is there. You can just go through and get what you want. Whatever you have need of is laid out for you. But so often we have excuses and we either don't come or we come and we don't receive. He says, come. You have to choose. Am I going to leave my excuse as to why I can't make it to the banqueting table? Or am I going to come to the banqueting table? And if I come to the banqueting table, am I going to take off my yoke? And am I going to look around at everything's available? And am I going to receive? What benefit would it have been to you this morning if you came up to communion And you walked up to the table that had already been prepared for you, and you looked at the juice and you looked at the bread and you went, and you just walked away. You came, but you looked, but you never received. Sometimes we do that too. We actually come to the banqueting table and we look at everything that's been laid out, and then for whatever reason, we don't partake. We don't receive. We just turn because of our excuses and we just walk away. What good is a banqueting table if you never come to it? And what good is it to come and look but to never eat and take it in? Which is what we so often do. Here's the four excuses why these people didn't come, and they're the four excuses of why we don't come. The first one is found in verse 18. At the time the banquet was sent, the first one said, I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. I need to go enjoy my stuff. Please excuse me. He just bought a field. If he bought something, he invested in it. He invested his money. He invested his time. I don't know how long it took him to get that field, but he invested to get that field. And so now I've got this good thing and I want to go enjoy it. I want to go enjoy my investment. And that's what we do too. Our addiction to our stuff becomes our excuse to not go to the banqueting table. Well, but I got this new toy. But I finally got my motorcycle. But I finally got my backyard done. I had to pick it, whatever it is. We all have the stuff that we have. And sometimes the stuff that we have and our addiction to that stuff keeps us from the banqueting table that is set before us every day. In Psalm 106:36, Scripture says they worship their idols, which became a snare to them. You know why your idols become a snare? Because they keep you from what you really need, which is at the banqueting table of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second excuse is found in 19. I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. In other words, I have work to do. I have things to do. He's got his oxen, he's got his yoke, he's got to go do his work. And we all have work to do every day, don't we? We have houses to clean, yards to mow, businesses to attend to, schools and responsibilities. Every one of us has a work, a labor that we have to do every day. But yet, isn't that what he just said? Come unto me, all you who labor. We all have a labor, but we still need to be able to come unto him and to take the labor of our yoke off and to come unto Jesus and to receive what he has for us in the midst of that labor. Because at times it becomes heavy. And yet the labor is what keeps us from going, well, I'm busy. Well, I got to get my work done. Well, I got to get my papers corrected. Well, I got to write that last business deal. And we don't come. And we don't come. And we don't come. How many days did the Lord work and when did he rest? Or did he never rest? He did rest. And he commanded us into a Sabbath rest. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 11. Let's see what he says. Do you have it back there, Abby? Put it up there. Actually, I'm just going to read it off there. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God said. So I declare an oath on my anger that they shall never enter my rest. Can I tell you, that is a really bad day. That's not only a bad day, that's a bad life. Not being able to enter into the rest of the Lord. To me, that's hell on earth. That's hell on earth, is never being able to enter into the rest of the Lord. And working and striving and being afraid and upset and full of anxiety every day, that is hell on earth. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. It wasn't that they weren't invited in, it's because of their disobedience. They didn't enter in. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it when?
Today.
When a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did his. Therefore, let us therefore make every effort to enter into that rest, every effort, so that none will fall away by following their example of disobedience. Isn't it interesting? He says, let us make every effort. Do you know why he said that? Because for some reason it's hard for us to enter in. But he says, make every effort to take your yoke, put it down, and enter in. Go to the banqueting table. Take your yoke off. Make every effort and enter in to his rest. The third reason we see is in verse 20. Well, I just got married, so I can't come. In other words, I have people I have to be with. Isn't that often our excuse? We all have people in our lives pulling on us every day. I have children I have to attend to. I have a boss that's yelling at me. I got a husband. I got a wife. I got city employees. I got friends. I got family. Let me just simplify it for you. We all have people in our lives that are pulling on us. And we all have people in our lives that feed us. But no person will ever, ever, ever be comparable to what you will find at the banqueting table. They just won't. What you find at the banqueting table will always be greater than what you find with other people. Exodus 23 says, you shall have no other gods before me. It's really easy sometimes to allow people to be our God. That thing that keeps us from doing the simple thing and coming unto Jesus. The last thing we see is found in verse 21. And he had sent him to go out, and he said that he wanted him to invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Let me tell you what number four is. Here's the big reason why we don't come. The big reason is your feelings. Your feelings. Why I don't come. But I don't feel what? The poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. I feel sick. I don't feel like coming. It's too hard. I feel really sick today, and I feel really bad today. I feel blind. You ever felt blind? It's too late to go to the banqueting table. I don't even know how to get there anymore. I've become so blinded by the things of the world. I've become so blinded. I don't even know where the table is anymore. It's too late for me to go to the table. Or maybe you feel lame and stupid. I shouldn't have to go to the table. I should have been able to work this out by now. I mean, I have been saved 10 years. I have been saved 15 years. I have been in leadership 5 years. I feel lame. I feel stupid. I should be able to do this, and so I don't come to the table. Or maybe you just feel crippled by your sin and unworthy to come. Many people don't come to the banqueting table because they feel crippled by their mistakes. They feel crippled by their failures. They feel crippled by their sin. They feel crippled by the sins of others, the transgressions that have happened to them. And they say, I don't think I can come. Too late for me. I'll stay away. In the book of Mark, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. By the blood of Jesus Christ alone, we're called to the banqueting table. By his blood alone. And at that table is everything you need for the moment you're in. Whatever moment you are in right now, it doesn't matter how crippled you feel, how lame you feel, how blind you feel, how sick you feel. By the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, come unto me. And whatever you have need of for the moment you're in is there. Everything you have need of for the labor that you're in right now, it's right there at the banqueting table today. Everything you have needed for the trial that you're in, no matter how great that trial is, Whatever you need is right there on that banqueting table for you and you alone. And everything you need for the condition you're in right now, it's already laid out. And Jesus says to you, will you come? Will you do the simplest thing? Will you come? Will you take off your yoke? And will you just receive? And if your answer today is no, then my question to you is this. What is your excuse? And why won't you come? That song we sang, I do choose you. That's what that song is talking about. He's looking for intimacy. Not just for you to stand afar off. And not just for you to come close and talk at him. He's looking for intimacy with you. Oneness. So I'm going to have them close in that song again today. And I want to encourage you. Come. Today. Whatever you need. The banqueting table has been set for you. You merely need to do the simplest thing. Come unto Jesus. All you are weary and heavy laden and burdened, and he will give you rest, and he will give you healing, and he will give you hope, and he will give you direction, and I don't care what you need. It's set out for you today. Father God, I thank you so much that you have made it simple for us. You did the hard work. You shed your blood. And by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we can come and do the simplest thing. We can come unto you. And so, Lord, let no man here be found with an excuse, but let everyone come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Paid my penalty. You came and willingly died. My freedom cost you your life. What do you see in me? That you have paid my penalty. Yeah. You came and willingly died. My freedom cost you your life. And I have found true love at last. Love with nail scars in his hands. Love that was not frightened by the grave. And all I know I count as loss compared to knowing you, Jesus. And love that looks like a cross. You're my hero. Cost you your life. And I have found true love at last. Love with nail scars in his hands. Love that was not frightened by the grave. And all I know I count as lost compared to knowing.
What you die.